life on the road. It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarves, strippers waving guns,
and
fees, fights, canceled flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette, drunks in the front, making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow, more missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning to the Road Stories Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Murray Valeriano, part of the All Things Comedy Network. What's going on at All Things Comedy, Aaron? Wait, it's not Aaron. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a new producer behind the boards. Oh my God, introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hi, my name's Emma.
Emma, how long have you been at All Things Comedy?
I've only been here for a couple of months now. This is a new one for me.
Oh, really? And
yeah.
What brought you to All Things Comedy?
I work with Morgan Murphy and Robin Shore on their podcast, Los Feliz, the podcast.
Hacks.
Yeah, they used to be over at Starburns. That's where I met them. And then when they came over here, they brought me with them.
Oh, very nice. Good
yeah.
for you. I'm glad you're here. Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from New Hampshire. And then I spent 7 years in Boston, and now I'm here.
All right. What did you do in Boston? Go to school?
Yep. I went to Emerson College. And I bartended a bunch and I worked a bunch and then I saved up a bunch of money to move out here to sunny old Los Angeles.
Said, Mom, Dad, I'm moving to Los Angeles to pursue my dreams in podcasting.
Exactly. Mostly right. Pursue my dreams of avoiding the winter.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I grew up on the East Coast and hate snow.
Yeah.
Emma?
Yeah.
Back me up on this. When people ask you from the East Coast, don't you miss the weather? They're really saying, don't you miss the shitty weather?
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
It's a negative question. They're not. I mean, I do miss the season changes sometimes. I get nostalgic when I see people posting all of their like fall pictures and the foliage changing.
Now,
but
no, I mean, you're not backing me up.
No,
this.
But I don't miss most of that shitty weather.
Okay,
I mean, it's
go.
Still
right.
it's still
right.
snowing there, and it's
right.
April. So
all right. Just yes and that's all you need to know. Okay. Well, welcome aboard. Glad to have you on here. Unless you fuck it up, and then we'll talk later.
Okay.
All right. Hey, I'm gonna try not to die today during this taping, if that's all right.
That's good.
I don't know if any you've been paying attention.
I'm not taking it over.
What?
I'm not taking it over if you do.
You'd
that.
Be my first guy to call.
I know you.
Gary Brightwell joins us because he hasn't been
gosh.
Here in four episodes.
Yeah, three episodes or something like that. Yeah.
Gary is my, I usually have two comics on, and Gary is my co-host when there's just one I want on.
Yeah.
And that one I want on is right here, right now. I'll go into my death
let's
talk
just,
in a minute.
Let's just say how it is. My name is Gary, who canceled Brightwell.
Yeah.
What a nice guy, Gary.
I like to say at one point I'm going to go to the Brightwell one too many times.
Ah, there you go.
You
see that? That's wordplay, people.
Chris Jonesy Jones joins us here today. What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing good, Murray. Thank you for having me today. It's a pleasure to be here with you and Gary.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Excellent.
And I never met Gary before, so
yeah,
it's nice
to
meet
you. You're meeting everybody.
I'm
Russell,
meeting everybody.
Emma, Gary,
yeah.
You're meeting everybody.
Everybody's nice here.
Yeah.
They gave me coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was free. And it was Dunkin's.
Well, look behind you.
Oh,
you want some booze or some weed? There's a bong back there. There's a vaporizer.
What the hell?
This doesn't give comedians a bad name at all.
No, not at all.
Looks like the only thing open, though, is the Irish whiskey.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And it's going right in my Dunkin's.
if you've been following the show and listening, you know I've been battling this lung thing for the last couple of weeks, and so they still don't know what it is. But I'm going in for a CAT scan today. So if I feel really out of breath, it's not that I ran here. It's not that I've been doing calisthenics before the show. It's just
or that you're sexually excited about being in my presence.
We know no. It's not sports related.
Well, yeah, I definitely know it's not sports related. There's nothing athletic about me. So so there you go. So I'll get my CAT scan and hopefully we'll figure everything out. But I don't know, man. I got to do an hour for the next 3 nights. And I haven't done, since this thing kicked in, I haven't done anything over like 20 minutes.
You're going to need like one of those, you know, oxygen tanks like they have on the sidelines of the NFL, like keep one in the green room.
Like Meatloaf has?
Yeah, and like Meatloaf has like on his person.
Yeah, totally.
Just surgically implanted in his nose.
Any
now?
Theater in Denver, they have it on the side of the, you know,
yeah,
Colorado.
They, yeah, you need that in Denver.
Aspen, yeah. They have it.
You can't go to Colorado until you get fixed.
I know. Listen, I the only time I ever got fucked up from the altitude elevation was Denver. Like third show Saturday night, the guy's like, hey, man, you know, just drink lots of water. Don't drink beer, because that third show, I'm like, fuck you. Drinking beer. 10 minutes into the third show, I was like, oh, I got to sit down. The room just started spinning around. I'm going to Washington State. I wonder if I got the elevation up there.
No,
I
should be fine.
Yeah, I should be, should be fine. I met Jonesy just the other night.
In Santa Monica.
In Santa Monica. Did you ever do that Third Street Promenade show?
I have not yet.
You got to come up and do it sometime.
Yeah.
It's a great, if you got nothing going on Saturday night, it's a great workout room. But that place was packed.
Packed.
Have you ever never done it before?
Many times.
Oh, okay. Well, that's weird that we've missed each other all weird. Those times.
Never done it quite that packed, though. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was packed, except it had 13, 12-year-olds
in it. Had some teenagers in there.
That was rough. I don't like performing in front of kids.
I liked it. I like having a little, you know.
That's not bad, though. 13.
Yeah, they, I mean, they were,
because they're on that cusp of, you know they curse. They, you know they've heard things at school. They know. It's like when you, like if you're doing a Brian Regan show and there's an 8-year-old, that's weird thing.
Right,
know?
Absolutely.
You go, okay, I got to really watch what I'm.
And the booker, Scott, told the parents that they're going to, they're not going to be sexually explicit, but they're going to swear. So it was good. And the mom was right there and I got to rag on her a little bit and they loved it. And it was fun. I overheard the mom come, like she walked through the door, overheard the mom go, oh, this reminds me of that cafe in Amsterdam, to her friend. So I'm like, I opened with that. Like, you think your mom's so sweet and innocent. Well, this is what I heard.
I like having that little group of teenagers there, like as an easy save when shit wasn't really landing. You could just kind of say something to them.
Right.
And you could just address them. You could just look at them and say, cock. And they just would laugh. Yeah. And it's just like an easy save. You could ask them a little question, and you know they're going to be too shy. And like the crowd would just laugh. I mean, so I just kept going back to them.
And there's 13 of them, so the laugh is going to be big, no matter what it is.
Absolutely.
When I worked Comedy Magic Club, I used to book like little private. People would call looking for comedians and stuff like that. And one time there was a high school graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Where they basically kept the kids at the high school and they had things for them. They had like a casino and they had all kinds of stuff. And they're going to have comedy.
Right.
And so they needed a comedian that was going to perform at 12:30. Mm. So Jack Cohen happened to be working at the Comedy Magic Club. And I said, hey, the show's over. I'll drive you up to this thing. And he was like, okay. Because he needed the money. He was like, I don't know what it paid.
Right.
But he was freaking out because it was just high school kids. Like, this, are they going to know what I'm talking about? Are you like this? And then there was going to be no opening act.
Ooh.
And just so happened, Henry Cho just kind of came along with us. And this was right around the MTV half-hour comedy hour was real popular. And Henry had been on it like a couple times. So we're walking through the high school and people are like, oh, my God, that's Henry Cho. That's Henry Cho. But they don't know Jack. So Jack's like, Henry, will you go up and do a little time in front of me? And Henry was like, no, this is your gig, man, like this. And then Jack was finally like, Gary, will you just go up and do one joke?
Right.
And I'll pay you $100. I'm like, all right. And I literally did. I got up. I told one joke. And, you know, it was like, it had to do with like high school, you know, prom or something. And Jack went up and killed because he was talking about, oh, who played football? And Jack had football jokes. And it worked out great. So
two jokes, $200. That's
but literally, he had to cut that check for me that said one joke in the memo. $100. He goes, you son of a bitch.
When was MTV, is this a half-hour comedy hour on MTV? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
All right. That was a show on MTV. I don't know if you.
I don't remember.
Remember that?
I was going to look
young.
I was going to add to this prom stories though, because I used to do the prom shows at Gotham in NYC.
Oh, really? They still do though? I kind of thought prom shows were a way of the past. I've never done
still
one.
Still doing prom shows, and I was at. I did a few of them, and a couple instances that I'll never forget. One was a kid threw up right on the table in the middle of the show.
Oh,
unbelievable! And another instance when the security guy at Gotham caught kids, you know, doing drugs in the bathroom too, which was that. So that's just shenanigans ensue.
Right, that's how I spent my prom, doing drugs in the bathroom. Pissed off Shannon Campbell so much.
Have you ever done those summer camp shows too? You're doing I used to do those.
Those are more
stand-up New York
East
back
Coast.
In
yeah, those are more New York.
So you're doing a noon show. They bring these kids into the city and they put them in the club and it's like a 12 in the afternoon show, and they're even younger. Some of them are younger than high school. I mean, those were rough. The prom one's okay. Because you could talk about drinking, and you could kind of like, you know, you could work with the, because they're like seniors, a lot of them.
Yeah.
You could work with them. These summer camp kids, man, you just couldn't do anything with these kids.
Well, at least they came to you. I heard this story on it. By the way, I say this every time. You never sound more like a douchebag until you say the sentence I'm about to say. I heard this story on NPR.
Ah. Oh man, can I sit near you?
Was it in a monotone voice?
This is years ago, but they were talking to two, and I wish I wrote down the names because I recognize the names, but there are two comics out of New York who convinced a summer camp like up in the Adirondacks to let them come do stand up there, but they were two like alt New York alt comics to go perform for like 13-year-olds and just
good luck.
Just ate it, man. Just tanked, like doing bits about, hey, I dared my friend I could do heroin without getting hooked. You know, just like bombed and then, got escorted out of the camp or something.
Right.
Like doing questionable material.
Their atheism jokes I must have really killed.
Yeah, totally.
With a bunch of 12-year-olds.
Know your audience, people. I think that's what we do.
Exactly.
Know your audience.
Well, that was nice. So Scott, our audience, I don't know if he let you know, but he did send a message to me. Maybe it was a thread saying, hey, guys, tonight, by the way, there's going to be some kids there just to let you know.
So, yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you must have been the only number on there that a name didn't come
perhaps.
Up on because, you know, you're Scott, somebody else came up, and then a random number came up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I wonder who that is. That must have been you.
That must have been me. Yeah, so he let us know ahead of time, so I immediately wrote a bunch of filthy pussy jokes. Like, these kids are going to get an education tonight about pussy.
I had a really embarrassing time there a couple weeks ago.
Oh, please share.
I'm going to. But it had nothing to do with me tanking. Remind me, I'll tell you who the comic was. But in this particular gig, it's in a theater, but they've completely closed off the green. We don't have a green room anymore. They completely closed it off. Now it's a storage closet or something.
Such a shame. I loved that little green room.
That green room was great. It was just...
I loved it.
You run into people you don't see, you know, because you're on the road or traveling so much.
You could talk because it's a completely separate room.
Completely separate. You could talk.
God forbid your main product have a place to be.
Yeah.
You know,
right?
It's like,
that's how bad it's gotten in comedy.
To be fair, it's a theater that has plays, so it's not... And it does stand up on Saturdays. So it's not really their main product.
All right, but still.
But I don't know where the actors go when they go play. We know,
I don't know how Scott show. What's he doing?
We know you guys like A Quiet Place, but we also have to store our brooms.
Yeah. And he also sells booze, and I'm sure he doesn't have a permit.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
And should we even been talking about this?
I was going to say, why? You got to out it now?
Do you know how to bleep stuff out yet?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sweet.
Scott, like, thanks, Murray. Fucking outed me.
I know. LA's best secret show has just gone under.
And the comedy speakeasy show was shut down on the 3rd Street Promenade. They were serving booze to 12-year-olds last week.
So you kind of got to, you hang out in the hallway now. Okay. So... you kind of, if you hang out for the rest of the show, that you see the people come in, you leave. And so this one comic went up, and I thought he was going second to last. And so, no, I thought he was going last. I thought he was closing it out. So he comes out, and then like three people walk out behind him, and then four people walk out. And so I thought the show was over. So I'm like, hey, Bob, what are you doing? Walking the room? Jeez, look at this. Everybody's leaving. And he's like, well, I didn't have that, you know, that great of a set. I'm like, I'm just kidding. And then I hear the next comic being introduced, and he did walk all those people.
Oh my gosh, nice. Like,
oh no, I'm so sorry.
Oh man, no fault of yours, though, brother. No fault of yours.
I'm just saying, man.
And for the listeners who don't know what walk the room means,
it's when you bomb and people say, "Wow, stand-up comedy sucks. I'm leaving and I'm never coming back."
Or you say something so vile that people are like, I can't have this.
Right.
I don't need to be subjected to this.
And the more free the show, the earlier they're apt to walk.
Yeah. The least investment.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
The Coronas are $2. Yeah. I think we can go ahead and just chug this and get out of here.
I'm not digging this host. I'm going to get up now.
I'm sure I told this story 100 times on this show back when I first started. I've been doing this for like 10 years. But there used to be, before Scott took it over, these two girls. I know I told this story. These two girls ran it, and they gave away free beer.
To the crowd?
To the crowd.
Wow.
And that was part of the advertisement.
Yeah.
Stand up, and free beer. So people would just, and this theater is on a, it's called the 3rd
That's
Street
how you
Promenade.
Fill a theater to see a singing frog. You know,
yeah, that's exactly how you feel.
A cartoon, right. It's like, yeah, it's yeah, yeah. Got everybody
hello,
in
my
there.
Baby.
Free beer.
Hello, my darling. Hello, yeah.
just when you think you couldn't date yourself with the half hour comedy hour
exactly.
on MTV, you went back to Michigan Frog and Warner Brothers.
Hey, at least I got that reference. I was into Looney Tunes, man.
Yeah, absolutely. These girls, so these like one night, these guys were just like they're already hammered and they came in. And they're just grabbing beer, you know, 4 beers each and going into the show, coming back out, grabbing 4 more each.
Oh,
and
my God.
And they just ripped this. And she was new at the time. And she was the MC. And she just ripped her apart so bad. But she would be like, oh, I'm going to get him next time. I'm going to get him after Gary Brightwell goes on. I'm going to come out and I'm going to get him. It was just a lamb to the slaughter every 7 to 10 minutes. To the point where I'm just like, just bring me up. You don't have to do time. She's like, no, I'm going to do my closer this time. That'll get him.
Oh.
No.
The way to really get them would be to fill the beer bucket with O'Doul's. That would get them. So they go back for a second round. They're like, oh, shit. O'Doul's. Gotcha, bitches.
I did it.
And then
that.
They leave.
I did a New Year's gig in Oklahoma, and
no need to brag.
The second New Year's show, they were serving non-alcoholic champagne, free-flowing non-alcoholic, but they didn't tell anybody. People, there was like a handful of people that found out and were so pissed.
I didn't know they made.
Which was kind of smart, but
if you advertise it.
They advertised free flowing champagne.
Oh, they didn't what, say
you know,
like
to celebrate that you know, to bring in the new year, and then they was like, no, we did. We gave you. We didn't want the problems. Which
that's like what flight attendants do now. There's never all the coffee is decaf on airplanes.
No.
Yeah.
Is this true?
Yeah.
How can that be?
All the coffee is decaf.
Oh, I don't know about that. I never heard that.
Didn't you read?
I didn't hear about that either.
10 things flight attendants will never tell you on BuzzFeed.
Come on.
Oh, well,
they got
that's
it.
Where I got it from.
Well, I did read it then, and then it says never order the coffee because they never clean the pots.
Oh.
So I've never heard that either.
Yes, that's what I've heard, so.
I always order coffee. Shit.
Yeah, I always order coffee too.
I don't know.
But I go in there knowing it's not caffeinated.
But I did read that. BuzzFeed.
Speaking of coffee, with whatever's going on with my lungs and my heart, that triple espresso didn't do me so well. That was not a good call this morning. So I can. Am I just oversensitive or do I sound out of breath?
No, you're fine. You're
you sound okay to me.
Okay. Yeah. This is what happened to me at Starbucks the other day. I've been dying to tell this
By
story.
The way, Murray's on the ground right now. Yeah. You sound okay, but he's on the ground.
Yeah. One little trail of tears going down my cheek. I was at Starbucks the other day, and we'll get back to the road stories. This was, we'll just say this was on the road.
Yeah.
I was in the Starbucks in Oklahoma, around the corner from my house. And for some reason, it was really crowded that day. And so I ordered my coffee, my triple espresso, and I noticed that there's a big gathering of people waiting for their coffee. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to go sit down. And I never sit down. So I walk over, and just as I'm about to sit down, and I'm telling you, almost like it's almost turned, put my butt down that close. This woman just right by me, almost stiff's arms me, sits on the other side of the seat. And as I sit down, she goes, I'm saving that for my friend. And I go, what do you mean? She's like, I'm saving that for my friend. We have work to do. I'm like, honey, you just saw me going to sit down here and you took it. And she's like, well, I was here first. I'm like, the only reason you were here first is because you fucking sprinted from the door.
Like a maniac.
Like a crazy woman to get that seat. And she goes, well, my friend's coming. I'm like, well, look, I'm just waiting for my coffee. Your friend can have this, but I'm sitting here. And she can have it when I leave, and I'm just waiting for my coffee. Then all of a sudden the friend shows up. And she's like, he stole your seat and he won't get out. I'm like,
wow.
They go, look, lady, I didn't steal anybody's seat. I was going to sit down, and your friend practically pushed me out of the way to get to that seat. So I'm just waiting for my coffee, and then once I get my coffee, you can have the seat, and you guys can. Well, we have to do work. We're on a tight crunch, and we have a lot of work to do right now. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry. I'm not moving. I went to sit here first, and this woman, she goes, well, I'm going to have to call the manager to get you out of this seat. And just now, I see my triple espressos come up, and I go, look, you know what? I'll be the bigger man here, all right? I'll be the bigger man. I know I'm in the right, and your friend is in the wrong, but I'm just going to go ahead and let you have this seat right now.
Okay, so I get up and I limp to get my coffee.
Nice. Brilliant.
Nice.
Brilliant.
Didn't even plan it. Didn't even just came to me as I got up.
That's a great, great idea. Wow, dude.
And the woman's like, oh, are you injured? Oh my God, are you? And I'm like, nah, it's just a surgery I'm recovering from on my knee. They're like, please sit down. I'm like, no, it's fine. And then I hear, Murray, your drink. And I'm like, my drink's up now. So I limped up to my coffee and I got out. Now, here's the problem. This Starbucks is in the front of a strip mall.
Yeah.
So it's got a long glass window down sidewalk. So I get out there and I'm like, I got to fucking limp a whole goddamn block now. Yeah.
You got to commit.
I got to commit all the way around the corner.
Fuck them.
That's right.
Fuck them.
Take my keys out of it and act like I'm getting in the car that's in the handicap spot. I got to fake that part too.
Fuck those people, man.
Oh, man.
These people that, the universe didn't exist till the doctor slapped you on the ass. That's right, all absolutely. They think. It's just this fucking, just like, you know,
absolutely.
They can't see anything else.
So I was so stoked to go home and tell my wife, and then I told my wife while my six-year-old was there. Huh. And he's like, Daddy, why were you limping? And Mary's like, it's not a good story to tell your kid.
Hey, there's another detail of the story I want to talk to you about. Mary, and that is, let's talk about the triple espresso. This is your go-to drink.
This is my wife turned me on.
That is hardcore shit.
It is.
I get a double and I feel like, hey, I'm really doing it.
When my wife's working and she's a costume designer and she'll work from 6 a.m. to 8 o'clock at night, she'll do two or three of those.
Damn.
Yeah.
Your wife is hardcore.
Yeah, so she got me hooked on those. So I do the triple with a little splash of non-fat milk to kind of break up the bite.
Well, you're inspiring me. I'm going to try that.
Well, that was a mistake today.
Yeah,
I don't think I might have to like go off these until they figure out what's wrong with my heart and lungs.
Yeah,
when you
just
order that,
curb it a little bit. Just get one espresso. Let's just get the one.
How could that even do anything at this point?
I know. Three. Oh,
I guess that's right. You've got a tolerance.
Four. You do four.
If I like, I don't know, if I'm doing like Irvine or something, and I get home at 3 a.m. and my kid gets me up at 7, then I'll do like a quad.
I want to just know what it feels like to order a quadruple espresso in front of like people at a Starbucks. They must look at you like,
it feels like I think the word is badass.
Yeah, total bad. They're like, fucking Spartan. Are you not entertained? Holy shit.
Oh my God.
I don't follow mainstream news too often, but when you brought up your Starbucks story, I thought you were going to refer to what's going on right now at Starbucks, which I'm just kind of rudimentary familiar with just by seeing a little bit on Twitter. They're apparently shutting down for a day.
Oh, I read that also. Did you read it?
Yeah, I read they're shutting down 8,000 stores for the, I don't know, an hour. I don't know if it's for the whole day. Is it the whole
day? It's an entire day.
Emma, can you Google that?
What do you need me to Google?
Oh, thanks for paying attention, Emma.
No, I was. I just wasn't. The
it's obviously so riveting.
I know.
The Starbucks controversy?
Yeah. Why are they closing down their stores? Or for how long?
For a day.
Oh, for the train? Is it for training?
It's for like racial training. Right?
Yeah. Racial training. Because of those guys that got arrested.
So what? I missed that too. What made them do this?
Right. From what I gathered, and maybe Gary knows more about this, which I don't understand, and we usually stay away from politics and topical shit, but
it's so juicy.
There are two black dudes hanging out, and the manager like called the cops on them, and the cops came and arrested them, and for doing nothing. But yet we're boycotting Starbucks, not the fucking cops who arrested them for doing nothing. It seems like we're a little miss. And one guy was just the manager, and the manager got fired.
Well.
No, here's what. Here's what I read.
You know what, Emma, go back to sleep. Gary's
here's
got it.
Here's what I read. a black gentleman wanted to, he was going to buy something, but he had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
And they wouldn't let him use the bathroom. They thought he was just somebody just coming in to use the bathroom only. Mm-hmm, and then there was a white gentleman that is walking out of the bathroom and didn't purchase anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said it was racial, and then they turned it into a bigger.
Okay.
We need more information.
Videos came out.
Sure,
and
cameras.
Next thing you know.
We need more information. You are right.
Starbucks is closing 8,000 U.S. stores for racial bias training, according to the New York Times.
How long could that take?
I know, and I hope it's not the one.
It's only for a day.
Look, I don't knock any Starbucks employee for doing stuff like these people. are not paid very well.
Oh, I'm glad you're talking about the Starbucks people.
Yeah, they're not paid very well. They are. Have you been to a Starbucks in Los Angeles? Like, they're constantly being inundated with crazy requests from people that just come in off the street all the time. I'm not saying this guy came in off the street, but I'm saying that's part of their lifestyle now. That's part of their work experience, and so, and they're not the brightest people. You know what I'm saying? And so they make they're making a judgment based on their experience from work as a whole, and maybe their experience, you know, with people coming in and asking for the bathroom, it can be stressful and it can aggravate them. You catch them at the wrong moment, they can deny somebody bathroom, and I cannot blame them. These people aren't, we're not dealing with PhD people here. They're doing the best that they can, and I've seen these Starbucks out in LA. I've spent time there. I know how stressful that can be, okay? So I don't put judgment on this. This is one of those instances where, in my opinion, we need more information. Right. Maybe this guy's a regular there, and they've had to deny him before. We don't know. We don't know enough.
Emma, did we just lose Starbucks as a sponsor for this show?
I don't know.
Calling him, no Brainiacs work there.
How many people come in and just use the free Wi-Fi and not purchase anything?
That happens all the time.
I mean, yeah, all the time.
Somebody made that comment on Twitter. It's like, there, somebody, you know, there are a ton of people. Like the one I go to, I got to do it. I had another scuffle at Starbucks. I forgot about this.
Do share.
He wasn't homeless, but he was close to it. You know what I mean? He had a lot of stuff with him. He hadn't really...
He was homeless adjacent?
Homeless adjacent. I mean, I'm sure he had some place to go, but he felt like maybe the aliens were going to take his stuff, and so he brought it to the Starbucks table with him.
He didn't ask you to watch his dog and his cart while he goes to the bathroom?
So he's just, he might have been homeless, but he's definitely, he's on the dole, as they would say back in the day or something.
On the dole. They still say that in Ireland.
Oh, they do? Yeah. All right, well, back in the day in Ireland, they say that. And he came up, and I was just about to get my triple espresso over ice. And he came in and just, I got to get a new Starbucks. This guy fucking caught, he like just kind of reached around and grabbed his coffee. And I went, and I laughed and went, fuck. Like that, because I think the woman thing had just happened a couple days before, and he looks at me, he goes, you got a problem? And I just said, I'm smiling, aren't I? I'm happy.
I'm smiling, aren't I?
And then he turned around and walked back to his little shelter in the corner by the fireplace in Starbucks for the free Wi-Fi.
Look, everybody knows the Starbucks is an epicenter for this weird activity. People that don't buy things, street people come in there, people trying to get warm, people trying to cool off, people trying to jack some Wi-Fi, people trying to use a bathroom. Mm-hmm. All right, this is it's an epicenter for that kind of activity. And when it is an epicenter for that kind of activity, the characters are part of it. Those characters can be, you know, if you're working there all day, those characters can piss you off and, you know, they can aggravate you. I don't know. I've worked in a service industry before as a waiter. You're kind of at a restaurant, you're a little sheltered from that. No one's coming into my restaurant and sitting down at a table that isn't buying something or just there to use the Wi-Fi or just to ask me for a glass of water, you know? So what's it like to work there? You know, we can't judge these people based on this. I think we're being too quick here. And, you know, Starbucks obviously is trying to cover their asses from a PR standpoint. But at the end of the day, we're dealing with, you know, 19-year-olds who have been asked a million times by crazy people for a cup of water, please. And that must drive you fucking nuts. All right.
I don't think you're saying epicenter, right?
Epicenter. Yeah.
You're saying epicenter.
Epicenter.
It's epicenter, right?
Epicenter.
Either way.
It's EPI, right?
I've never heard of EPI. That's like EpiPen.
EpiPen, yeah.
I'm getting it all the way through.
Yeah. You think you're saying that right?
Well, when you watch a show from England, when they say pedophile, does that drive you crazy?
Is that how they say it?
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
A pedophile.
What's a pedophile?
A pedophile.
Oh.
Pedophile.
Yeah, but they say pedophile.
I've never watched TV in England.
How am I supposed to say epicenter?
Epicenter.
Epicenter.
That's how it
was. Epicenter.
You got it, Gary.
I got it.
Gary and I share the same dictionary. I don't know.
I wonder why you're getting in arguments.
I'm not. I'm just trying to fucking defuse
the common denominator. Ladies and gentlemen, the common denominator is triple espresso. Espresso.
I don't think you're saying espresso right.
I don't think I was either. So much better had I got the word correct.
My buddy Rich D'Andre was a big Iron Maiden fan growing up.
Oh yeah,
and he pronounced it Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
And Iron Maiden.
It drives me fucking crazy.
Not Iron Maiden.
Not Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden.
Everyone says Iron Maiden.
Yeah, he says Iron Maiden. Drives me crazy.
Iron Maiden.
That's how I would have said.
30 years. Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden. Huh. Iron Maiden. All right, we're getting to the, we're getting to the heart of podcasting
that's a
right
cultural
here.
Cultural thing, I guess. Jeez.
I'm sorry for bringing it into politics there. I just had, I had a little rant. I had to get it. I guess
it's not really. I wouldn't say political.
I was on board. I didn't think anything of it.
Right. Thanks, Gary.
Okay. I had someone just, I don't know.
Enjoy your trip to Starbucks together.
To look at the pedophile.
I thought you were saying PETA, like P, like the,
they say pedophile.
I believe you.
And with that,
what are you watching in England?
I watch a lot of English shows.
Oh, you watch British shows?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't watch any British shows.
Do they say pedophiles like down south too? They're them pedophiles.
Yeah, it could be.
Or just uncle.
Well, oh, uncle. Hey!
Oh. Like, we had 30 minutes into it. We could.
I love it. I love it, Mary. I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, we've had a lot of death lately.
There has been. There was a comic. Here's the strangest thing.
Insert joke.
I know all of them.
You know,
I worked.
Well, who died?
Tim Jones.
Oh shit! I forgot to mention
who's
Tim Jones.
Tim Jones.
The guy who died.
The guy, yes. I was a black comic, very funny, really popular in, I would say, probably mid-80s.
Yeah, definitely during the A&E's Evening at the Improv era.
Tim Jones.
Tim Jones.
Yeah,
black
and
dude.
I did Comics on Duty gig with him.
Oh, really?
In Japan and Korea. He and I and John Bazaar and Danny Viapondo.
When was that?
Fun. I want to say maybe. Yeah, it was like at least 10 years ago or so.
When I first started doing stand-up, I used to hang out at a bar in the Valley where I used to go hang out because my girlfriend at the time lived around the corner and Chris Frangiola was there. And
right.
We'd go to this bar and I recognized him and I was like, Tim Jones, I'm a comedian too. At that point, I am not a comedian. I'm maybe doing two open mics a week, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But you're at that stage where you just tell everybody
you're
you are.
You're just fucking cocky, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
is before, you know, and Facebook was around. I was probably dumb enough to put Murray Comedian Valeriano like those obnoxious fucks do. But he was so cool. He would, every time I was in there, we would just talk comedy. And he's like, are you getting up? Get up. You got to get up. You got to keep getting up. And he was just, and he, you know, he could have just, you know, shunned the obnoxious wannabe comic, but we sat and drank and talked comedy all every night. It was great. He was a really nice guy.
That's great.
But have you obviously heard the Robert Schimmel story about when he was selling stereos?
Yeah.
No, I haven't heard this.
He's
please.
Selling stereos.
Who, Tim Jones is selling stereos?
No. That's Robert Schimmel.
Out of his trunk?
I guess he'd been doing. No, he worked at a high end stereo shop.
When he
or
moved up to LA, he worked as a high end stereo.
And I guess evidently Steve Martin came in and bought some fancy system, and Robert was installing it at his house, and Robert tells Steve Martin, because I don't know how long Schimmel had been doing stand up, but he told Steve Martin, you know, I'm a comedian too, and Steve Martin says, no, you're a stereo installer. Right now, I don't know about that.
Well, you know, the great story about Robert Schimmel was he was performing in, I think he was from Arizona. He was performing in Arizona, and Bud Friedman just happened to be, maybe there was an improv there then or something, but he saw him perform, and he's like, hey, you know, whenever you make it out to LA, call me, and I'll get you at the Hollywood Improv. And so, like, a year later, he finally gets the balls to move to Los Angeles the night the improv on Melrose burns down.
Oh, what the fuck?
And he pulled up and Bud Friedman's there with his monocle watching and just watching the place burn to the ground. And he's like, Bud, I'm Robert Schimmel. You said if I could, when I get into town, I could call you and get on at the improv. I don't guess that's not going to happen tonight.
Oh man.
I know I butchered that story, so if Jeff Schimmel, Robert Schimmel's brother's listening, I apologize.
And then what was the other?
Who the other passing? Who else died?
Floyd Phillips.
I don't
from I did a
nothing.
I did
Floyd
another
Phillips? Jonesy?
Nope, nothing.
No, nothing.
I did another
where's that guy?
Middle
from?
East. He was a pretty established comic up in Seattle area.
Okay.
And Oregon and stuff like that. And I did a Comics on Duty Afghanistan. Iraq stuff with
him and Danny Viapondo. It seems like Danny Viapondo
was
always
on that.
Goes out.
Danny Viapondo was on that tour. And Bob Kubota.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't know. I don't know Floyd who died. I don't know.
Yeah, anyways.
I don't know him.
But then Harry Anderson.
Then Harry Anderson died.
And I was
who people
with Harry.
Tell Jonesy he kind of looks like. A young, better looking Harry Anderson.
Yeah, if they put a fedora on you and you're really good.
1930s the young, tie.
Exactly, the very young Harry Anderson years when he was on Cheers.
Yeah, and, I loved when he was on Cheers.
Yeah.
Night Court was great too, man. Excellent theme song.
Right. And anyway, so I was lucky enough. I worked at Comedy Magic Club, and that was like his favorite home club when he lived here in LA.
He did stand up as well.
Yeah, he was a magician, comedy magician.
Comedy magician. Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
But it was all based upon, you know, his character on when he was on Cheers as the grifter type guy that, you know, he was a con artist and stuff like that. And that
What's your table tapping?
And that was basically Harry. He was like, he did that as a, you know, before he was doing shows. Mm-hmm. He was a pickpocket and a grifter and stuff all in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, yeah. So that's it all came from a real thing.
What a cool lifestyle.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Anyway, so he used to work Comedy Magic Club all the time, and we became friends. And so right during the heyday...
Before Gary was stand-up, he booked Comedy Magic.
Yeah, I used to book it with Jimmy Miller.
Okay.
I was the house MC and stuff like that. So.
And he passed that house MC on to a little guy named...
Judd Apatow got one of my nights. He said, can you give up your Thursday? There's a new guy, Judd Apatow. He was like, well, I hope he makes something of himself.
I don't know.
He takes advantage of this.
Does he know how hard stand-up's going to be? I hope he has a day job. But let's be honest, Judd's been really good to you. He invites you to the Gary Shandling premiere.
Yeah, exactly. I've done some things.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, go on, Harry Anderson.
Anyway, so Harry Anderson... You know, during right at the height of his Night Court stuff, he was, I think almost he was, if you think about it, he was probably one of the first guys to really capitalize on his fame as a comedian to go out and do shows. I don't know if there's anybody who's really.
Wait, for his fame from his TV show?
Yes, exactly. Shows? Because a lot of times, like, comedians or whatever would get a television show, but then they would just go, no, I'm just going to act.
Mm-hmm.
From now on, you know, where Harry would like do the show, and then on the weekends he would go out and do, you know, larger venues and stuff like
that. He might have been I'm trying to think, because most comics before that, if they got a show, it was a variety show. It seems like I don't really seem to remember anybody else.
They were done with stand up at that point.
Yeah,
you know, they just kind of like
because this was
some of them when the checks I think start dwindling, they go back to it. Like I don't. Like
yeah,
I'm thinking of someone like Jimmy Walker or something.
Right, you know, right.
Like, who still does stand up and
yeah, maybe Jimmy Walker might have still was doing stand up at the time when he was as big as he was.
Oh, you're saying still doing stand up even though they were that
even
the
though
time.
They're yes, exactly.
Like, they didn't need to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Still did it.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know the ratings, but that was definitely a high rated show for a few years.
But that was the thing though. So Harry would go out on the weekends and do shows, and so for about a year and a half, I was his road manager, so I basically traveled with him.
Wow, you wore many hats, Gary. I didn't even know this about you.
Well, this was just one of those things. I knew his act, you know, very well, and so I would have to run, you know, set up the stage, because he had stage props. He did all the magic set up and all that kind of stuff. And I would set up the stage props, which was basically a chair, a table, and a coat rack. But the table, he would later, like, float and stuff like that.
Go on Craigslist and find a woman to agree to be sawed in half. Is that part of it? Every city
must have own floating table.
So anyway, so I would just do, and then I was in charge of holding you know, making sure we got on the planes and make sure our hotels were set up, and I was in charge of tipping bellmen and stuff like that. So that was basically.
And then did you host the show as well yourself?
No, I would just basically run sound and lights.
Oh no shit!
And you know, and then I would. The week wouldn't be done, and then we'd come back, and then I'd be back at the Comedy Magic Club, you know, as the house MC, and Harry was doing something, you know, back at the show, whatever.
Sure.
But we had fun times, and he really taught me, like, all kinds
magic?
Of weird stuff that I still learn today. Like, there are at least the two things I was trying to think back of, like, anytime you tip, he would always say, he says, let's say you're going to tip $3. He says, fold it over and then fan it. He says, it looks like $6. And he says, and you look them in the eye and you shove it in their hand. And he says, no one wants to take the money and then look at
absolutely.
And look at you. So they just thank you and they stick it in. He says, it looks like you're giving them $6. And then you walk on. He says, you're only giving them $3. And I still, to this day, anytime I tip somebody, I always fan it. And I always think of Harry, you know, it's like
Harry
a weird
Anderson
thing.
Was a dick.
But did he, did he teach you any tricks to actually get dollars from someone?
No, I mean,
like being a grifter at all?
Pickpocketing?
That seems more useful.
And then the other thing was to me, it was always fun. Sometimes we would go in to do a gig, like he would get like big bucks to do like a corporate event, and I always had to do the sound and stuff like that. And we would go in there, and before the event happened, they would send a packet, like a rider that showed how the stage needed to be set up, tables needed to be closed, because it was a magic show, you know, and it was a comedy show. And invariably, we'd get to the place, and there'd be a dance floor. Yeah, and then tables way far away.
Right,
and
right.
Harry would go, no, that we can't have this. I said, did you not get this thing? And they were like, yeah, but we're going to dance afterwards like this. And he was like, yeah, but don't you understand? It's a comedy. And we would argue. And then finally, this is what I always still remember all the time. He just looked at me and said, you know, GTFM, Gare. I'm like, okay. Which was, get the fucking money. That's all it was. It was just like, okay, we're never going to win this. Let's just do the show, get the fucking money, and get the hell out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And every time I met a thing that's not set up correctly, I just think, GTFM.
This
just
podcast?
Tell just tell the jokes and GTFM.
GTFM. You know what he needed, I like that.
You know what he needed? Yeah. He needed a brown M&M's clause in his writer. You know,
just to see if they're reading.
Yeah. Van Halen
that's
had
a little
that.
Trick.
That Van Halen had that and everybody was like, whoa, what prima donnas? No brown M&Ms. And they're like, no, our stage setup was so elaborate that if we went into our green room and saw that there were no brown M&Ms, we knew we were going to have an easy night. Right. But if we were brown M&Ms, we're like, fuck, we got to go check the stage.
Right.
We gotta do this. And then there's a great story of David Lee Roth saying, you know, sometimes just feel bad because there's this 90-year-old woman just picking brown M&Ms out of the bowl in the green room. It just felt really, oh, it's okay. It's somebody's mom because they forgot to do it.
Yeah.
But as a road story, and with a Harry Anderson, you know, I have a great Harry Anderson road story. Mm-hmm. I think we were in Connecticut somewhere. We were doing, like a corporate show. But we were in a hotel. We got in. They had to get in the night before. Hotel, and then we decided to go have dinner. So we go downstairs, we walk around, we have dinner at some place, and as we're walking back to the hotel, there's a bar that's called the Night Court.
Oh.
And I was like, look at that, there's a Night Court bar. Like, and Harry goes, we got to go over, let's go over like this. And we go over, and the door is locked. But you look in the window, and they've got pictures of all the cast on the thing up around. It was based around the show.
Right.
And then there's a guy in the back wiping a table, but the door's locked. So Harry bangs on the window, and the guy yells over, we're closed, like this. And Harry's like, bangs on the window like this. The guy goes, we're closed. I'm going to one more time. The guy finally like puts the rag down, and I'm going to walk over and keys and unlocks the door. And Harry goes, hi. I'm sorry, but I just want. I'm Harry Anderson. I'm the judge on Night Court. And the guy goes, I know who you are. We're close. And Harry fucking laid out laughing. And the guy locked the door, and we never got to go in. It was the fucking funniest thing in the world. Harry thought it was just the greatest. The guy was like, because I know who you are. We're fucking close.
Oh, man. What a
That's
great
the
story.
Best.
That is it was awesome. Just
never get in.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
So that's my Harry Anderson road story.
That's so nice.
Very fun.
We've been on this show 100 times, and. Just
finally,
never.
I finally. Pay off. Finally, finally, I pay off.
We get a good story.
That sounds like a story Harry probably told a million times too, because that is just
that's a
wonderful.
Perfect Tonight Show story.
Perfect. Oh my God, you know, it's so good.
I know.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Thing.
Fantastic. Hey Emma, wake up.
I'm awake.
All right, we don't have a clock in here yet, so
no,
I don't know where
isn't.
We're at.
We've been recording for 42 minutes, and it's 10:53.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's only very specific.
Yeah.
All right, we have 18 minutes, Jonesy. You're
to do
up.
What? I don't know Harry.
I don't have any more Starbucks.
I didn't know Harry. Okay.
We had fun though on those things. We had there was times where it was like not. I mean, he chewed me out a couple times.
Oh yeah.
And one was like never. One wasn't warranted. We went into some little small town in the South or whatever, and Harry happened to be putting on a show, and we were on the flight. We land, we get off, we're walking into the airport, and there's nothing but cameras. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is like the biggest thing that's happened in this town in a while. And they weren't there for Harry. I guess one of the Mandrell sisters was also on the flight. So this was like a big, no, it wasn't even, it was like Erlene or something.
Erlene, the one with the club foot.
Right.
I don't know if she has a club foot.
Yeah, and so he was like, you got to get out of this. You got to know if something like this is going to happen. I was like, how would I know? I'm sitting next to you the whole flight.
Calling every airport in the States. Is there a Mandrell sister showing up there today on off of Delta flight? No, but we have a Delta Burke.
But could you imagine, though, that's the biggest thing in this town? One of the Mandrell sisters and Harry Anderson.
If a Mandrell sister walked into my mom's house, it would be the biggest moment of her life.
Really?
Trust me, my mom. From the South.
Jonesy doesn't know who the men
are. I have no idea. I have no idea who those people are.
They're some old country singer. Sisters, right?
Sisters.
They're the original Judds.
The original Judds. Before the Judds.
Yeah. All right, so we got Judds. There we go. excuse me. You're from New York.
I'm originally from Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
But I was in New York for 10 years.
10 years?
Before I moved here, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How long did you move here? How long ago?
2 years ago.
Oh, really? Maybe that's why I haven't seen you.
Yeah.
Who do you know out in New York? Let me see. Do you know my buddy? We had Joe Matt. Well, you weren't here, Emma. We had Joe Matarese on last week.
I know Joe.
Joe?
Yeah. Played softball with Joe.
Yeah. How about Gary Goldman?
I knew Gary Goldman for a long time because he's a Mass hole, too. So
That's right. He's Massachusetts guy.
So I've known him for a long time.
Yeah. I knew he lived out here for like a year and a half. And that's where I met him. We became friends.
Gary's a really, really great comic.
Oh, Gary's.
I mean, one of the best.
Yeah.
Gary's one of those that's like, I don't know. I'll say unique, but I watch him, and this is going to come out wrong. And he sucks. No.
That is wrong. That did come out wrong.
I think it came out wrong.
Let me try it again. I look at him, and I'm like, I don't know how this works, what you're doing, but it's working.
Oh, my God. It's so great.
You know what I mean?
I love it.
Like, and I love it, too. And I think it's great what he does, and maybe I can't do it. But does that make sense?
Like, well, you don't have a smile like that.
he's got a drink of water.
He's got a golden smile. He could sell anything, man, with that smile.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. But when he was on Last Comic Standing, I don't think they showcased him how they should have. You know?
Yeah.
Because he's that good, and he, you know, and they just didn't. That was the Dat Fan year, I think.
Was that the Dat Fan year?
I think so.
Well, I mean, the fact that Dat Fan won, I mean, you can kind of see what they're looking for, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's like.
Can I tell my Dat Fan story?
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of doesn't make him look good.
I don't know.
Okay.
It's your show.
All right. And they get that beep button ready.
Yeah.
We bleeping some more stuff?
No, it's not that bad. So I was supposed to do, I was supposed to do the Vegas Improv with him. And he canceled at the last minute, which is fine. That happens. And then, like, a couple of people showed up and were like, yelling at me, like, you know, how come Gene Pompa's here? We're here to see Dat Fan or whoever filled in for him last minute. It's always Gene Pompa. It's always the
villain.
And, like, I don't know. I don't book it. You know, I'm just the middle. I'm just up here telling jokes. And so I shot him a thing on Facebook. Said, hey, man, just so you know, probably like to hear. So some people are really disappointed that you canceled this week. You know, they were looking forward to seeing you. You had a lot of fans out this week. He's like, oh, cool. Thanks for hitting me up. It's a good idea. And he said, oh, hey, if you're ever, you know, San Diego La Jolla Comedy Store, I do the Sunday night show. And I'm like, oh, I love the La Jolla Comedy Store. I just started headlining there. There's a few years. You know, I just started headlining there. I'd love to come down and do your Sunday night show. And he's like, great. You got to guarantee me 15 people.
Oh my God! No, come on.
Bringer show.
Come on.
I swear to God.
Maybe knowing that you just filled his shoes in the show.
Yeah.
And we're nice enough to call him and tell him that he had a lot of fans out there.
He had a lot of fans out there. Great, come on down. Bring 10 to 15 people. You can get 8 minutes. And
that's disappointing.
You can get half off on chicken fingers.
Yeah. it's so sad to hear.
We don't have to bleep that. They don't have to bleep that. I think that's well known. Speaking of La Jolla Comedy Store, I'll be down there May 23rd. Get your tickets.
Speaking of Comedy Store.
Yes.
Do we? This is The one other person who passed away while we were going.
That's right. The death episode. The death of Mitzi Shore.
Mitzi Shore, yeah.
You guys didn't have a relationship with
her. I only met her one time.
Murray collapsed lung.
Murray just fell out of his, practically fell out of the chair.
That was a visual gag for the listeners.
I hit one of those levers on the chair, which I thought was going to tilt it back, and it just dropped it 3 feet. Hold on a second.
You out of breath now?
No, I'm out of
breath. You should go get a CAT scan for that.
I'm out of breath, and I have a fused spine. All right, we're back.
I never met. I met her once. I never really worked the Comedy Store. I only worked the Comedy Store twice, and one of them was for a benefit show for diabetes that Tom Parks put on. Mm-hmm. But I got to meet her that night, and I was with another comedian who really didn't understand how to be. He was trying to be polite, but he didn't understand. Like, so literally, we were introduced to her.
Was
he
a bat fan?
He was on he was on the spectrum, is what you're saying.
But I don't know. But he literally, she was like, you know, Gary, this is Mitzi Shore. And so-and-so, this is Mitzi Shore. And he went, oh, you're Polly's mom.
Hi.
Instead of, you are the famous person who's you know, put comedy on the map at the time, you know, way back in the day. He was like, no, you're Polly's mom.
There's There's
probably a guitar act, that guy.
Yeah, probably. So it's like, but I met her that one time. That was it, though.
Right. I worked for her when I was doormanning. My buddy Bob Oshak, who now I always say lives four blocks from me, and I haven't seen him in 6 years. he's writing for Bill Maher now, so I never see him. But he was her assistant, so I would fill in as her assistant when he would get like a day gig on something.
Right.
And so I ran stuff up to her house up in the Hollywood Hills. I've seen her in her underwear. I drove the death trap of a limousine down to La Jolla to pick her up one day. They've had this limousine since like 71, and it's never been in the mechanic shop. And it was one of those where 40 miles per hour and up, it's just so you're doing 39 miles an hour in this stretch limousine down the 405 because you don't want to.
The wheels might fall off.
And I went down to pick her up and bring her back to Hollywood. And
where was her home?
Well, she was down at the condo in La Jolla, La Jolla Comedy Store. They used to have two condos down there, one for Mitzi and one for the comics. And I think they sold the second one. And this condo is so sweet. Right, it's balcony, sidewalk, beach.
Oh, lovely.
Every time I do it, I bring my surfboard.
Amazing.
It's fantastic. It's such a great gig. And so I drove down there and I'm like made it on fumes. You know, I get down there and I'm like, all right, I got to get gas before we get back up here. And so I pick her up and she's like, I'm Murray, I want to go to the steakhouse. And I'm like, okay, where's the steakhouse? It's off the 405, about 15 minutes. I'll tell you when to turn off. I'm like, all right, Mitzi, I got to stop and get gas. No, I want to go to the steakhouse. I'm like, all right, Mitzi, but I got to get gas. So we can get to the steak. Get gas after the steakhouse. I'm hungry. All right, Mitzi. I'll get gas after the steakhouse. You can see where this is going. 5 minutes.
Not going to the gas station.
5 minutes onto the 405. Chicken, 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 chicken. Pull over. What are you pulling over for? We're out of gas. What do you mean we're out of gas? Why didn't you go to the gas station? I'm like, Mitzi, you wanted to go to. And this is, I didn't have AAA. You know, I was making $50 a night at the, you know, being a doorman. And then $12 if I got up, you know. I'm like, I gotta go get gas, and probably pre-cell phones, or maybe I just couldn't afford a cell phone just yet. This is like 99. So I'm like, all right, Mitzi, I gotta get gas. So I hoof it up the 405. You've been trying to hitchhike, and nobody picks up hitchhikers apparently after 1978.
Right.
I had no idea. I had to go buy a gas can, right, which is already bled into my $50 a night. You know, there's $20 of my $50 that day. And then I had to put gas in it. So that's another $5. And then slosh it back. I don't know if you've ever carried a big fucking 2 gallon gas can.
Yeah, you gotta be
like
careful.
Martina Navratilova arm. sloshing the guy, get in there, put it in, fill it up. You know, by the way, this has been an hour easily, hour and a half or whatever. And we were supposed to be back by noon, and it's 1 o'clock or something at that point. We're not even off the road yet. And I get in, and then we grinding, and she's yelling at me all the way to the gas station. I fill it up on the Comedy Store card, get in, hit traffic, whatever. She's yelling at me. It takes 4 hours to get from San Diego to Los Angeles. We get there at like 8 o'clock at night. The shows have started, and I pull in the limo, and everybody was like, "Oh my God, Mitzi! Oh, are you okay? Oh, is everything all right? Oh, that asshole ran out of gas."
throws you under the bus.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And then, like, everybody's like, practically, you know, I remember him lifting her up on her shoulders and carrying her into the Comedy Store. And meanwhile, I'm just, get away from me with that cigarette. I got gasoline all over me.
Oh,
and
my just, God. I just like the and fact that was her just sitting in the back of that decrepit limo on the 405 by herself.
By herself.
While you go get gas.
And so she was not a young woman at that point.
No.
She was not a young woman at that point. And then I got fired shortly after that. But she did say, I put this on Facebook. My two favorite things Mitzi Shore ever said to me was, "Oh, you're a good writer. You remind me of Gary Shandling."
That's good.
And then the second was, "You're fired." So, and what was funny is you could see the people in the know under there were like, "Oh yeah, I was fired 3 times."
Right. Exactly.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Totally. If you and then I think this comedian Diane Nichols put on Facebook.
Yeah, I know,
like,
Diane.
Much like Woodstock, if you can remember Woodstock, you weren't there.
Right.
She's like, well, if you weren't banned from the Comedy Store, you were never there.
Right.
So,
exactly.
so you could tell the people who got it, and then the people are like, "Wow, what a bitch!" You know, blah blah blah. I'm like, yeah, right. You just don't get it.
Yeah.
So that's my Mitzi story short. Mitzi Shore story.
That was nice.
Oh, thank you.
I like that.
I'm out of breath.
Filled with disaster.
Yeah.
My favorite kind of stories.
And so, and then I get booted out of the Comedy Store, and really haven't been back since. But now I do La Jolla all the time, which is much better. I don't need another. I don't need another show in town that's going to pay me $12 that I have to drive
and pay for parking
45 minutes get to, right. And then pay $60 for a babysitter.
Yeah,
so that's totally. Why I just stay away from the Comedy Store. and it's stacked. The lineups are stacked. Have you seen the lineups? It's really turned around. Definitely
turned around. It was ever
no. The people would not touch it when I was starting out there.
Right.
Nobody would come. It was empty. Eddie Griffin would literally do 4 hours into like 3 o'clock in the morning and just for four people. Dice was really the only name there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it spawned to like Ari Shaffir came up through there and Jason Galern and Nick Youssef and all those guys. So, I mean, eventually it turned around. Once they fired that booker,
right,
brought in the new booker out of Tempe, Arizona, I think. Adam was the booker over Tempe, I think. Tempe or Phoenix Improv.
Okay.
Then it turned around and now it's great. All right, somebody talk. I have to catch my breath.
I don't, yeah. No, I, like I said, I just remember, like I said, I worked Comedy Magic Club. So I was, that was like the best place, you know, because people would come down to that. They were like, "Oh, we loved coming to Comedy Magic Club." So always we had a nice, happy vibe. And then they would say, "Oh, I like the improv too, but man, the Comedy Store has such a dark vibe." And I was like, "I don't understand why." And you go up there and it's painted black and red.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's just, it has a kind of a date. Whereas the Comedy Magic Club was like, you know, there was swinging clowns and ventriloquist dummies all over the
beach.
Fucking,
is right there.
I know, but it was just that, you know.
Oh, is that a dolphin?
The carpeting looked like pink confetti and stuff. So it was like,
it
didn't even look like a real comedy club, even the Comedy Magic Club. Was like,
well, that's what I like about the store is it reminds me of East Coast clubs. Like, minimalist, dark.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I feel at home there.
Which clubs did you do in New York besides Gotham?
Stand Up New York.
That's come around too. Yeah. It used to be a pretty big dive.
Yeah, I did it when it was a dive.
Oh, yeah, that's when I did it too. And then I always tell this story. The booker, I think his name was Mark, had mine and Jeff Richards' number confused and would call me and be like, "Jeff, you want to do a spot tonight?" Like, "It's Murray again, and I'm open." Click. For like 2 years.
Oh, that's so
Jeff, funny. You want to do a spot tonight? It's Murray, and I'm in Los Angeles. Change the click.
Oh, yes.
What about, is the Boston Comedy Club still there in New York?
It was called something else.
Okay.
What the hell was it called when I was there? And then it stopped. I think it was called the Comedy Village, maybe?
Okay. Well, how was the dive?
Yeah.
When it was
the
Boston Comedy Club.
I wish I was there when it was the Boston Comedy Club, because I hear all the stories about the guys who were going through there.
Right, right, yeah.
That Barry had going through there, you know, everybody.
What about East Side? East Village?
So yeah, I did East Village.
Is that a good club? Or
It's a good club, yeah.
Yeah, I only did, when I lived there 6 years ago for 3 months with a newborn, Mm-hmm. I told the story last week, but the plan was my wife worked on a movie. I'd watch the newborn and then go out and do spots. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh, I have a newborn. I'm not doing anything. So right. Every once in a while, I would just be like, I'd get the gumption to go do that open mic at the, because we lived around the corner from the.
Oh, no kidding. That's a great neighborhood, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And they were really cool. They like the whoever booked that open mic, I would just text them and like, hey, man, can I come down? He's like, yeah, just open the show and then you can leave. Because he knew I had a kid.
I ran the first open mic at that club.
Oh, yeah?
And ran one of the first produced shows there as well when it opened. I can't remember what year that was.
Do you know a guy who has a black beard and kind of does a guitar with one-liners?
Yep.
What's his name? Do you know?
I can't remember his name.
But he was the guy who was running it and would throw me up anytime. Yeah, I remember him.
Very funny.
Yeah, very funny guy. All right, where are we at, Emma?
We're at 59 minutes.
Oh, 1 minute, Jonesy.
Wow.
Thoughts?
You can tell that it's winding down because Murray is way out of breath.
I'm faded. It's weird. It comes and goes. Like yesterday, I went to the gym. I went to the gym for like 40 minutes. I couldn't come, you know, I got really tired. I couldn't finish my workout, but I got 40 minutes in. But then 2 nights ago, I was watching the Andre the Giant documentary, and all of a sudden, I'm just like, I just ran 3 miles. It's so fucking weird, man. I can't figure it out. So if I die, Gary. You get to run the Road Stories podcast for all things comedy.
I'm not as well connected as you, so.
What are you talking? You know everybody.
I know all the older comics.
You're dropping,
you're
dropping names, Jonesy, and I've never
heard
of.
I know all the older guys because when I do spots at the Comedy Magic Club now, I go in there. I was like, there's so many people on the lineup that I don't know, and I walk back and I look and I go, oh, thank God Jimmy Brogan's here. Oh, thank God Alan Havey's here. You know, this guy's who have been around forever. It's like, you know.
Well, Gary, put yourself out there. Meet some of these younger guys.
I know, exactly.
I wouldn't be here if Murray and I didn't have a conversation in the theater over there.
Hold on,
we had a nice conversation, and then here I am.
I'm not as old as Gary. Let's not want me in there.
Exactly.
I just sound like I am today. And the breath machine and the walker doesn't help. Well, hey, do we have a Punch Drunk or Tinfoil behind us, right?
It's Puck Off.
Oh.
With Fraser Smith, Puck those Joe guys. Bartnick.
Oh, speaking of old timers, Fraser Smith.
Yeah,
that guy's got.
When I went to high school here in LA, I grew up in down at the beach area, Redondo Beach. When Fraser was a DJ at KLOS, he was the morning drive guy, and that was the thing.
The show.
That was the show to
was
listen
he
to.
K Rock or KSN?
KLOS.
KLOS at that time.
Yeah, and he was the morning thing to listen to. He was like in this area. It was the Howard Stern of that time. Like you went to high school. You're like you listen to Frasier's morning. You listen to Frasier's morning. And for me to now know him, it's just the weirdest thing.
And Frasier is a staple on the radio and stand-up scene out here.
Yes.
He's a staple, and I have not been able to get him on the show because he's so. And he's got his radio show on KLOS now again.
On Sunday nights, yeah.
But he got started. There's this show, K-Rock, or not show, station, which is the number one alternative station in the country. And he was like one of the original DJs on there.
Oh.
And he tells stories about, well, maybe this is KLOS, where he got a knock on the, you know, somebody climbed up the fire escape, knocked on the window, and was like, play my tape. And it was David Lee Roth.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. I got to get him on the show. I'll have to corner him before I leave.
There you go.
Absolutely. All right, Jonesy, man, thanks for, you know, I always feel weird. Hey, you want to come do my podcast now that everybody has a podcast and they're like, oh, we're going to sit in somebody's bedroom.
This is an established one, though. This is not.
But I still feel.
We're not in someone's, you know, pool house or anything like that. We're actually in a studio.
We could have done it in my pool house.
I know, exactly. That's why I said that.
The only more awkward thing is when you're working with a female comedian on the road, and you're like, hey, you want to come up to my room and do a podcast? And then I got it.
No.
Been doing it for 10 years, blah, blah, part of all things comedy, USA Today's top 10 funny podcast of 2014. Like, you got to list the whole resume. And
then
like,
they walk in the room and they see microphones. And they're like, oh, you really did mean a podcast.
Okay.
And then
they call their friends. No, I'm safe. Okay, you can go. Now she's just outside in the hallway. Well, Jonesy.
Well, no, I had a good time. It's good to be here. And I didn't get to do a road story, so you have to have me back.
Oh, absolutely. You did.
You did.
Kind of.
All right.
I have a great one though.
Oh, really? Well, then we have to have it. By the way, that's how the show goes.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah,
leave them hanging.
Yeah, absolutely. We rarely. My theory on doing the show, and it's only bitten me in the ass a few times, is when you talk to a because I don't want to do an interview show, right? That really takes the fun out of it. Okay, Gary. So I heard you knew Harry Anderson, and he had a crazy thing at a restaurant named Harry Anderson. You know, it turns into Comics Unleashed. I don't want to do that. So my theory behind the show is if you talk to a comic long enough, he'll go, holy shit, I was in Oklahoma one time working this one-nighter and blah, right. blah, and that's how it is.
Or in other words, organically.
Organic. That's how it
is. I think that's what they say.
Yeah.
In the
that's
business.
That's what the kids say. That's what millennials say. So where can my listeners find you, sir?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Funny Jones. FUNNYJONES, like funny bones, but with a J.
Oh.
Easy peasy. Funny Jones.
I followed you and I didn't get that.
Oh, you didn't get that?
No. I'm
oh,
not come smart. On.
I also have.
I also don't have a lot of auction going into my head today. So.
No, you don't. I forgive you. Also, Jonesy.com.
Okay. Some great videos. I was looking at those this morning.
Yeah, dude, I've done some videos. Yeah, I've done some funny stuff.
Awesome. Awesome. Nice. Gary?
At Gary _ Brightwell, because some hump in England has my.
Mother
has my thing.
Let me guess. How did, let me guess how much he tweets.
He's got 3 tweets and a picture of his BMW X3.
Yeah, on the wrong side of the road.
Motherfucker. So anyway, so
you going anywhere?
I'm gonna be in
Brian Regan. Anytime
no,
soon?
Not nothing on the books yet. But I'm okay. gonna I'm gonna be in Reno at the Laugh Factory in Reno coming up at the end of. Middle of May, I think.
Okay,
so
that's the old Catch a Rising Star.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. In the Silver Legacy Hotel.
Has it gotten nicer?
It's great. It's nice. It's just getting
people.
Because
the Laugh Factory took it over. So it
right,
nice.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just getting people in to see.
Yeah.
To go into a casino to go in to see a comedy show. It's just that. Yeah, it's just Reno.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things outside that Reno room was two meatheads, like UFC motherfuckers, outside the door. And one of them's got one by the neck. And he goes, you're getting it in the face or the gut? You pick.
Nice. Like,
great. And then I go inside and they're in the show. Like, and half an hour later, they're in the show. They're in the audience.
What
I'm
would
like,
you
oh,
pick?
Great, great.
What Me? Would you pick? Face or gut?
I'd go face.
I would think I would go
Today gut. I'd go face. I couldn't be able to breathe if I got it in the gut.
Oh, okay. I say gut, but then I think, well, that's how Harry Houdini died.
Oh, good point. Emma, face or gut?
Ugh. That's a tough one. I guess gut. I don't know. I don't know. Can I choose neither?
Yeah, you can. You're good. Hey, Emma, good job today.
Yeah, thanks, Emma.
Thanks.
Are you the regular slotted time for this time?
If you're recording on Wednesdays, yep, it'll
right.
be me.
I usually record on Thursdays, but all right, cool. Well, thanks a lot, Emma. Gary, thanks for filling
no
in again. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Jonesy, I hope to see you soon, man. Oh, I'm
for sure.
going to... I'll be in Washington State this weekend, but I'm doing the Undertow Comedy Festival in Oregon. It's their first year next weekend on the Oregon coast. So Portland listeners, come on out. It's great. It's Jeff Dye, myself, Ron Funches, Laurie Kilmartin, a bunch of great Pacific Northwest comics. So
nice.
It should be a good festival.
Oh, shit.
That should be a good festival.
Is that
great.
One of the, they holding it at like one of the casinos there in like Lincoln City or something like that?
It's in Lincoln City, but it's like 4 or 5 different venues and...
it's great up there.
Yeah.
It's
I've never been on the Oregon coast, so I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, and it's great.
Man, might be able to get some surfing in, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Although Pacific Northwest surf is either flat or 18 feet and freezing cold.
It's going to be freezing cold. It's going to be wind blown.
Freezing cold.
It's going to be blown out.
Destroying waves. So
it's
I'm looking forward
to it.
It's
going to be blown out. All right. I wouldn't bother.
Check out everything going on at allthingscomedy.com. And I'm Murray V Comedy on Instagram and at Murray V on Twitter and Murray Valeriano Comedy on the Facebook for all you old people.
And you're the man, Murray. You're the man.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys coming all the way out to Burbank today.
Thanks, yeah.
And come see these guys when they come to your town. They're very funny. Thanks for listening.
All right.
You want to know about life on the road? It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarfs, strippers waving guns,
and
bees fights, candle flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette, drunks in the front, making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow, more missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.